We'll start today with a resolution commending Deputy Executive Officer David Delaney upon his retirement from county services. Mr. Robinson.
Chairman Grover, members of the board, council, Doring, it is a pleasure and an honor for me to be here this morning to participate in the recognition of David Delaney, Deputy Executive Officer in Stanislaus County. My relationship with David goes back many years before my tenure in Stanislaus County in 2004. I believe it was somewhere around 1993. When I first met David, when he began to participate in CSAC's Excess Insurance Authority, at the time I was also serving as a board member of the EIA. Many years later, I find myself standing in front of you and taking and appreciating this opportunity to reflect a little bit on David's illustrious career. I prepared something that I would like to share with you, with David, and with his family, if I may. I wonder just what we will find when David doesn't change his mind. 36 years have come and gone. Are David set to now move on? To say we're sad, now this is true. We'll all miss David. This we knew. He stepped in strong and led the fight to do what's safe, to do what's right. And even when the times were tough, David couldn't do enough to keep our workplace safe and sound so that we all can stay around and spend the time with family, practicing safety, you and me. To EIA, David was sent. He soon became their president. Their staff would often call and ask for David to help them with their task. But safety's not his only bag. Our David is well-rounded. He helped to build the CSA, the contractors he hounded. If e'er they practiced shoddy work, whene'er they'd not perform, Dave would steer them to the light. Perfection was his norm. A scholar and a gentleman, Delaney often was a friend. To those in need, he'd lend a hand. Compassion helps define this man. At holidays, Dave surely shines. He'd shop for food most any time. Delivered to those most in need, the hungry Dave will always feed. It's time for you to smell the flowers, enjoy the minutes and the hours. We'll miss you, David, this we all know. We'll miss you, yes, we know it. So, we hope you'll grace us now and then by dropping by stopping in. And as we bid our last adieu, as we say goodbye to you, the time has come, this we all know, it's finally time to end this show. And as the curtain falls on this crew, we wish you well in all you do. Time has come, my friend, I see, to bid farewell to you from me. Mr. Delaney.
Okay. Well, there's too many things for all of us to hold here, so I'm going to, on behalf of the board, acknowledge your 36 wonderful years of service, 20 of it here. And we have a resolution and an instrument to mark the time from this point forward that I'll hand to you when you're finished, but do you have some words for us?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Rick, for your kind words. Rick is an excellent writer. He obviously wrote that for me, and he has written others for other people who are retiring. I would like to thank a whole bunch of people here today, and I want to start by acknowledging my family. Thank you for all your support. Failure, my wife. Hear me. Jeffrey. Justin. Jacqueline. Jeremy came up north from UC Davis. He graduated a couple of months ago. Jeffrey graduated from American Musical and Dramatic Academy about a year and a half ago. Justin's going into high school at Enoch as a freshman, and Jacqueline will be in the eighth grade at Savage. That's why I'm retiring. Plenty to do. I'd also like to acknowledge my own staff, for they have been by my side, and I have appreciated them more than you'll ever know. Could my staff please stand? Even the older staff, Ed and Barbara, are here today. Thank you very much. It's been a wonderful journey for me, and to be your boss is me. It will be something that I will always cherish. I want to acknowledge the opportunities that I have been given here. Rick mentioned a couple. My involvement with the EIA was something very special to me. The creation of the Disability Management Program, along with staff, was very special to me. The Social Services Complex was very special to me. It was an interesting project. The budget was very special to me, and we'll never get out of it. And there were some challenges, and I think that the staff here in the county will continue to serve your board well with their recommendations. I'd like to acknowledge also another group of people, the injury management coordinators and the safety representatives who have stood by me and helped me to produce reports to the safety board. And thank you, Supervisor O'Brien, for your constant support of safety in this county. I'd like to acknowledge all of the Board of Supervisors members here, but I also wanted to mention the wonderful times that I had in discussing many, many topics, some of which were business, some of which were just pleasure, to Roland Starn and his family, to Tom Mayfield and his family, and former board members Pat Paul, Paul Caruso, Nick Blom, and Ray Simon. All the board members made my job wonderful, challenging, and I appreciate all of you for the opportunity that I've had to serve. Thank you, County Council Doring, and your staff for all the help that you have provided us in our liability cases that we have taken to the board. And thank you, Rick, as a friend and as my boss, and as we work together in the EIA. I want to also thank all the members of the Chief Executive Office. You have been there for me, and I hopefully have provided information to you as well, so we could march forward with various projects and issues. I've received a lot of cards, a lot of emails, a lot of lunches and dinners, and I'll be able to get that off here next month. But I think most important to me is my acknowledgement to the county employees here in Stanislaus County. I love county employees, and I have appreciated working with them collectively and individually, and hope that they continue to serve well in their efforts. So my last words would be for the county employees to move forward as quickly as you can, as expert as you can, and strive to make Stanislaus County the best county in America. Thank you very much.
Thank you again, David. Opportunity now for public comment, which would be anything that's not listed on the agenda, an opportunity for folks to come forward and share with the Board of Supervisors your concerns. We have one request, but that will be for an agenda item, so we'll deal with that actually in the next item on consent calendar, because that's a question of an item on consent. Is there anyone that cares to make a public comment at this point? Okay, seeing no one, we will move to public comment, and before I ask Conrado Castillo to come and speak on B-13, Mr. Robinson, did you have something on B-10 you wanted to know?
Yes, I would just ask the board to remove B-10 from this week's agenda. We'll bring it back at a subsequent meeting for your consideration, but it's not quite prepared yet.
Okay, and then item B-13, would you like to have it removed from the consent calendar? Is Conrado Castillo, is that you, sir? Did you have a comment you just wanted to make on it and then have us act on it as part of the consent calendar, or do you want to have it removed and heard separately?
Just a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. My name is Connor Castillo, a member of the Park Lawn United Neighbor community. Arlene and I met with Mr. DeMartin on Friday, July 23rd, where we learned from that the city and the county would be covering the total cost of Measure M. I would like to ask Mr. DeMartin, can he please explain the action that he's voting on today? Thank you.
So if you're asking for explanation, we're going to need to pull that and hear it separately.
Okay.
So let's do that. Let's pull B-13.
Okay.
And we'll move on everything else and then come back to B-13.
Thank you.
Okay? So regarding the consent calendar, we removed B-10 and won't be acting on that today, and B-13 we'll hear separately. So is there a motion for approval for the balance of the consent?
That's C-1.
I'm sorry.
C-1 also.
Rick?
I don't have an issue with C-1. I think
we have to point.
We can do that as subsequent.
C-1 is still part of the consent calendar. Is that okay? Is there a motion?
So moved.
To approve? Okay, I'll second it.
You have a motion from Supervisor Kayes, a second from Supervisor DeMartini. Motion for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries on the consent. And then we will come back to item B-13. And Mr. Castillo, could you come forward and just state your question again, please, and then we'll go from there.
Yes, I would like to, from Mr. DeMartin, if he can explain the action that he's voting on today.
I think perhaps it would be more appropriate if I explained the action. I did write the item, so I can provide the background if you'd like, and then if you understand it differently, maybe you could provide clarification. Would that work for us?
Yeah, you can explain it. I think we have a pretty straightforward understanding of what this is.
Yeah, so the item that's before the board for consideration this morning is approval to fund up to 50% of the cost of the election. There is a question relative to the city's level of participation that you'll need to work out with them. The city had indicated that it supported the Measure M vote for the Park Lawn community if there was a sharing agreement between of the cost of the election between the Park Lawn residents, the county, and the city. From the county's perspective, the recommendation is to approve funding up to 50% of the total estimated $15,000 cost associated with the election. So what the board is voting on today is whether it will agree to fund up to 50% of the cost of the election.
Okay, so the other 50 would be covered automatically by the city, or is it?
That will be their decision. I don't control that. They don't. The board doesn't control that.
If for some reason the city doesn't do that, I've seen other areas where the county does cover the total cost of issues like this.
Well,
our community wouldn't be able to receive the same benefits that other communities have in the past.
The recommendation before the board today is to fund up to 50% of the cost of the election.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor DeMartini, anything you'd like to add?
My understanding is the same way. I think the city of Modesto should obviously pay for half of this, and I'd even suggested that the city add other county islands on at the same time, which wouldn't cost any more to just get this out of the way, but that's not what's before us today. But.
Mr. Robinson, have you heard anything back from the city on that?
I did send a note to the city manager inquiring whether it would be possible to consolidate the Major M votes for all county islands in one ballot. He was having conversations with his city leadership and had not responded either in the negative or in the affirmative yet.
Okay, so that may be determined in the future, but for now, this is approving 50% of that ballot.
That's correct.
Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Approve.
Okay, we have a motion from Supervisor DeMartini, second from Supervisor Montes for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries 5-0. Okay, we have a 9:05 scheduled public hearing to consider the approval of the fiscal year 2010-2011 annual assessments for various county service areas. Mr. Fourier.
Good morning.
Or is Mr. Machado? You
get both.
You guys write down one name and then you all gang up on it.
Go ahead. I have a U, there's only two of us. We're trying. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Dorning. I'm Matt Machado, Director of Public Works, and with me this morning is Denny Ferreira. He has done all the heavy lifting on these special districts and has done a fabulous job. And before I turn it to him to give a brief report prior to this public hearing, I wanted to just give a brief introduction to this item. And most of you, or probably many of you, saw an article in the Bee this morning that talked about these assessment districts and some of the increases. I did want to comment on that. We have spent considerable time developing these budgets over the past few years. It's been, you know, an ongoing struggle to make accurate budgets. When you look at these budgets, especially the districts that have storm drainage facilities, budgeting accurately is like predicting the weather. You don't know how much the pumps are really going to run. So we continue to spend time to create the best budget we can. Likewise, with the lighting districts, some of these budgeting efforts is like predicting whether there's going to be vandalism on some of these light fixtures. And so we continue to strive towards that goal to be accurate every year. Some of the increases that you have before you this morning, the percentages are somewhat shocking, especially when you look at, you know, 11%, 15%. But when you really look into the numbers, I don't think they're as shocking as the percentages actually reflect. For instance, in the Bret Harte District, 11% increase amounts to 40 cents per month. So that's, you know, when you start budgeting down into those numbers, it becomes even more challenging. But we're very tight on our budget. Some of the other lighting districts have 50, 60 cent increases, and I think probably the most sizable increase is in the Shackelford Landscape and Lighting District. The percentage of increase was 40%. Sounds rather shocking, but the actual increase is just over $1 per month increase. So I think the actual dollars really tell the story better than the percentages, and so I wanted to share that with you. And with that, I'll turn it to Denny to give a brief report.
Good morning, Chairman Grover, Board of Supervisors, Council Doreen, CEO Robinson. I am Denny Ferrer, and I work with Santa Fe County Department of Public Works directly under Matt Machado and Diane Hall. As mentioned, we are here before you today for the public hearing regarding fiscal year 2010-2011 assessments for the various county service areas and landscape and lighting districts. The county service areas included within this hearing are CSAs 4 and 5, CSAs 7 through 12, CSAs 16, and 18 through 26. The landscape and lighting districts included in this public hearing are the Bret Harte, Bystrom, Howard McCracken, Laurel, Paradise South, Riverdale, Riverview, and the Shackelford districts. Of the proposed assessments, 4 would be reduced, 9 are the same as last year, and 12 would be increased. Compared to the 2009-2010 fiscal year reports, none were reduced and 15 were increased. The special districts that would have the assessments increased have an approved method to calculate the assessment, and therefore no ballot procedure is required. Staff requests that anyone wishing to speak please indicate the number or the name of the special district that they would like to discuss. Mr. Chairman, at this time, staff would like to ask you that all of the 6 staff recommendations before you be approved at the conclusion of the public hearing. And at this time, does the chairman or members of the board have any questions or comments regarding the county service area, landscape lighting districts, or the engineer's reports? If not, if we can please open the public hearing.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? I don't see any, so we will open the public hearing and give opportunity for anybody from the public to come and ask questions or make comments regarding this agenda item. I don't see anyone. You must have done your work well. We'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board for discussion or action. It doesn't appear there's any discussion, so let's act.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second. Okay, we have a motion to approve the 6 staff recommendations by Supervisor O'Brien, second by Supervisor Monteith. Motion for approval. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then under the 9:10 a.m. Public hearing that's posted, it's a hearing to establish fire protection facilities fees for the Mountain View Fire Protection District to be imposed upon new development that occurs within the district. Chief Henshaw.
Good morning, Chairman Grover, members of the board, CEO Robinson, County Council Doring, Gary Henshaw, your Fire Warden, Office of Emergency Services. Chairman Grover, if the last group came in 2 and that was ganging up, we'll just come in numbers. How's that? I'd like to introduce the Mountain View Fire Protection District Fire Protection Facilities Fees team to you with us this morning, and somewhat to our fortunate, with an unfortunate accident last night, is Kevin Blount, the fire chief for Mountain View Fire Protection District. He's got a few stitches in his head, so we're just glad he's here this morning. Also part of this team is Mimi T. Simone. She's out of our office. She's here in the audience. She's worked with many of the fire districts on creating these development fees. From Wildan and Associates, we have Mr. Eric Nichols and Ms. Pam Bernada. And I think, Pam, you're going to lead this presentation? Okay, so with that, I'm going to turn this over to the presentation team for the Mountain View Fire Protection District. Pam?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Grover, members of the board. It's a pleasure for us to be here to present the fire facilities impact fee. Eric is the technical advisor, served as principal in charge on this project. I served as project manager. So I'd just like to briefly walk you through a short presentation and then open it up for questions. So first, and I know that the board is very familiar with several impact fee studies, but I just wanted to go over briefly the concepts behind it. So a development impact fee is a one-time charge for capital facilities. It's imposed at the building permit stage, and it's basically there on all new development within a certain area. In this case, it's the Mountain View Fire District. So this is not is it's not going to be an ongoing funding source for operations. It's not a special tax, and it's not subject to Prop 218. So conceptually, the Nexus study requirement has several requirements as governed by the Mitigation Fee Act. In order to cover those and in order to meet those requirements, we have a basic methodology that we follow for the development of the program, which includes estimating the existing development and future growth, identifying the facility standards. In this case, we use existing facility standards, which I'll get into briefly when we go into the specifics about this program. Then we determine the needs and the costs of the district. And then we allocate the share of those costs to accommodate growth among growth. So we calculate those fees by that allocation of per unit of new development, which we determine is on the per capita basis. So now for this specific program, we have completed several analyses, including determining the planning horizon. And in this case, it's 2010 to 2025. This planning horizon is used to determine what growth is occurring in the district. In this case, the growth is in 2 major forms, which we see is residential additions and replacements, well as new and added agricultural support structures. Significant construction of agricultural support since 2000 demonstrates a unique characteristic of the district that we want to be able to address within this program. As you can see, growth from 2010 to 2025, the non-residential, significant portions of it is included in non-residential agricultural, which is primarily pole development, pole barns and things of that nature. Also significant and unique to this district is you're seeing a lot of teardowns and additions to the residential structures rather than the addition of whole new units. So here we then examined what the current inventory is for the district facilities. Currently, they own a significant amount of land and buildings, which includes two stations and storage. There's also a significant amount of apparatus to accommodate the district and equipment to serve the public. So the existing standards and the funded facilities. The proposed, as I mentioned, is the proposed program is based on the existing facility standard, and we primarily do that because in this case there's not a master CIP plan in place as of yet, so because we don't have a mapped out planned facility, we want to make sure that we're covering our bases to not charge for any existing deficiencies. So that way we're ensuring that we're only charging for the growth within the district. In this case, it would be adding sleeping quarters and shower facilities to an existing station. This will allow for ongoing permanent residents in the fire stations in order to allow for additional services. Also, adding an engine and equipping that engine just to ensure that they're continuing to be able to grow accordingly. So based on the existing standards, we have calculated a per square foot fee for residential and non-residential for all not excluding unoccupied ag. Unoccupied agricultural facilities are treated differently because they do not require the same amount of service to be provided to them. Therefore, there's less of an impact on the fire department for non-agricultural or for unoccupied agricultural support structures. So you see here the calculated fee is 24 cents per square foot for residential and non-residential excluding unoccupied ag, and then there's a 50% reduction for unoccupied ag to account for the fact that there's less of a demand placed on the district. So now we get to program implementation. As you know, the board would collect fees on the district's behalf. All new development pays for the living space as space is increased in living or employment space. And again, this goes back to the fact that the unit that we use is not based on a per residential unit. It is actually based on per square footage, which is similar to many of the other development impact fees within independent districts within Stanislaus County. Ag support buildings, as I mentioned, due to the reduced demand, has a reduced weighting in the fees because of the structure, the nature of the structure, as well as the number of employees working within those types of facilities. And with that, I'd like to open it up to any questions that you may have.
Any questions from the board? Supervisor Monteith.
These fees are for living space, equipment, et cetera. This is not for salary or compensation.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank
okay.
You.
Supervisor Bryan, did you have a question?
Yeah, more probably for county staff. Other fire districts in the county have these fees, and they make changes to the fees, and this board doesn't approve the changes. Does this board just have to approve the creation of the fee, and then from there on out, the district will take care of everything?
I would defer to council on that question.
My understanding is that the fees adopted by the fire districts are essentially county fees that we pass through the county. That's why the board needs to approve them, and I'm surprised to hear that changes in those fees aren't passed through the board. I would think that they should be.
Yes, they are. Okay. They do need to go through the Board of Supervisors for every update.
Supervisor Ryan, I'm not aware of a district that has changed it. That would be new news to us. All of them should be brought back to this board.
Okay. Okay, any other questions? If not, we'll open the public hearing and give opportunity for the community to comment. I don't see anyone that cares to comment, so we'll close the public hearing. And Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. These fees are one-time impact fees, and I think they're totally appropriate. Fire district that I live in is a rural fire district that's all volunteers and then operates on a shoestring budget, as I'm sure Mount View does. And to have a one-time impact fee, especially something as low as 24 cents a foot, to beef up the fire department's equipment is appropriate to them. But, support this measure today.
Other comments? If not, care to formulate a motion?
Yes, I have a motion to approve the staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion for approval from Supervisor DeMartini, a second from Supervisor Chiesa for approval of the as written by the staff. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Correspondence then?
This board has received a letter from the Children's Hospital and Research Center, Oakland, regarding the suspension of operations at the Modesto Children's Hospital and Research Center, Oakland Specialty Care Center.
Refer to the Health Services Agency.
This board has received a copy of the East Side Mosquito Abatement District's fiscal year 2010-2011 budget.
Refer to the Auditor Controller.
This board has received a program update from the San Joaquin River Restoration Program regarding the interim flow releases from the Frayette Dam.
Refer to the Department of Public Works and the Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures.
This board has received a letter from the California Rural Legal Assistance Incorporated regarding the noncompliance of the Stanislaus County General Plan housing element.
Refer this to the Department of Planning and Community Development, County Council, and the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of the claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports today? Okay, then there's plenty of time, Mr. Robinson, for your legislative, fiscal, and management report.
And I will try to pull as much time as I can for you this morning. Which won't be difficult. We actually have quite a bit going on. The state legislature, however, as a body, is in recess for the month of July. They're scheduled to reconvene on August 2nd. As we all know, the state budget had a June 15th at midnight deadline pursuant to the California Constitution, which was ignored as it has been for several years, which I think shows the total respect that our legislature has for our California Constitution at this time. I probably should resist my political commentary as I go through this, shouldn't I? We're at this point 27 days without a state budget. The state is paying bills required by federal and state law or constitutionally required, which includes their debt service, K-12 education, Medi-Cal costs, SSI, SSP payments, and they continue to issue income tax refunds if you are a late filer. Most action is occurring right now with Senate leadership and with the governor. If you were paying attention late last night in a news release, the governor did indicate that he would not sign a budget unless he gets everything that he wants, and that the alternative, according to him, would be to let the next governor worry about the problem. So we're not quite sure where that will lead, only that beginning sometime in October, we'll have cash flow problems that could directly and adversely affect many in the state of California. The realignment proposal CSAC is continuing to work with seems to be major focus on public safety proposals, as they're thought to have the greatest opportunity for success. Senate Democrats in particular are spending quite a bit of time working with realignment proposals. However, we don't believe the Assembly has picked up anything of substance relative to negative bailout at this time. Governor Schwarzenegger's asked the Air Resources Board to delay adoption of the renewable portfolio standard until September. ARB was expected to act in July. The standard would require 33% of power used by utilities to come from renewable resources such as wind and solar energy. Still under discussion by legislative leaders and others. AB 1770, which has particular application to, I told you that I would take up some time, to Stanislaus County, the Gaggiani bill passed from Senate Judiciary. We set for a third reading in the Senate after the process. The bill would return to the Assembly because it has been amended. As you recall, the bill would provide vital records fees for Stanislaus County up to $2 to be allocated for purposes related to the administration of the Family Justice Center. SCR 54 COG bill would name a portion of Kirk Lindsay Memorial Highway, passed out of the Senate, passed Assembly Transportation and Approach, be heading for the floor sometime in August. SB 1174 is a very interesting bill that has some significant potential consequences. County staff have been working on several calls with CSAC and the bill sponsor, providing feedback. The bill would create the Future Sustainable Communities Pilot Project to pay for general plan updates for disadvantaged communities, Principal County Island and unincorporated communities, and other unincorporated communities. Using Prop 84 bond money, staff are opposed to this bill. It is currently written. We believe that it has a potential to create substantial unfunded mandates on local governments. Federal level climate change legislation appears to be dead, at least for now, and we don't think that it will be resurrected in this session. Appropriations side, Senate Commerce Justice met, and we did receive thus far zero for interoperability. The House side includes $200,000 for interop. Senate Energy and Water Appropriations Subcommittee met and set aside $223,000 for Orestemba. The House side has identified $800,000 for the project. So we do have something in both the House and the Senate versions, but quite a spread between the two. Tuolumne Regional River Park and Family Justice Center, the larger projects, have not been included in any funding proposals at this time. Our lobbyist is anticipating that an omnibus bill could come back during the lame duck session, and we'll be working actively with legislative staffers to see if we can address some of the financing issues that we have still outstanding our greatest priorities. Lots going on, lots behind the scenes, no specific action that directly affects us, but it behooves us to spend a lot of time paying close attention.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. That concludes our agenda this morning. We stand adjourned.